WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. I trust you all are having a fantastic start to your week. Tonight is the night that many Spartan Hoop fans have been waiting for. Yes, Tom Izzo's team will be in the shot tonight. The number one team taking on the number two team in the nation, Michigan State and Kentucky. I can't wait for it. 7:30 p.m. tip-off, folks, and we are taking your calls throughout today's entire show on what you think is going to happen tonight. Kentucky head coach John Calipari feels as though his team can't beat the experienced Spartans. I am not kidding. If you turned on SportsCenter this morning, they had a feature on John, and he went on and on about how, you know, his Kentucky team is very inexperienced, how it's unfair for them to play the Spartans, and, you know, how he sees this is kind of just a measuring stick game to see where they are. He's not expecting a W. Can you believe that? What kind of head coach says that? Seriously, I think he's just playing with the media right now, folks. But what do you think? Will the green and white pull it out? Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You will hear from a few Spartans and Izzo on tonight's matchup in just a minute. And I also have to remind you all that you can be in the TV studio audience this week when I sit down with Ali Easley, boxing trainer and founder of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. Now, recording takes place at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow at WKAR Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are totally free, but reservations are strongly recommended due to the fact that seating is limited, folks. Now, that's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, and guest Ali Easley. To reserve your free seats to be in the TV studio audience, visit WKAR.org. And during that interview, we'll be bringing you a special segment where I actually hop in the ring with Ali. Yes, I hopped in the ring with him, folks. It's you'll get to see it. You'll get to see how I did. You don't want to miss it. Again, be in that audience this Wednesday night. Sign up at WKAR.org. Well, let's get to the show. Here are your current sports headliners on this November 12, 2013. Now, earlier today, filling in on the Jay Cutler show on ESPN 1000, Brandon Marshall, yes, Chicago Bears wide receiver Brandon Marshall, jokingly referred to the Lions as the, quote, little brother to the Bears, who finally had enough. Now, Marshall also called the Lions play borderline illegal. He went on to say, this is a direct quote from Marshall on that show, quote, it's the little brother that kind of grew up a little bit. He may be a little taller than the big brother. He's not stronger. He's not better than the big brother at anything. But that one day he just says, I'm fed up. I'm done. I'm going to punch my brother in the face. I don't get it. What is up with this whole little brother comment? I mean, you talk about Michigan and Michigan State with the little brother comment. Now Marshall's talking about it. I don't get it, man. But anyway, the Lions edged the Bears, of course, 21-19 on Sunday after smothering, just completely stopping Matt Forte on an attempt at a game-tying two-point conversion on the final minute at Soldier Field. The victory pushed the Lions to sole possession of first place in the NFC North with a 6-3 record, just ahead of the Bears and Green Bay Packers, who are 5-4 apiece. Now, the win also completed the Lions' first two-game sweep of the season series against the Bears since 2007. Last year, the Bears won both regular season matchups. But anyway, Marshall continued to say, quote, it's the little brother that big brother wants to go out and play with his friends, and the little brother is annoying, saying, hey, can I go? No, you can't, Detroit Lions. Sit back, sit in your little city, and this is the part that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, fix your financial problems and all of that, you know? You can't come with us right now, but right now they've got the best of us. They beat us twice, they swept us, but what matters is when we see them in the playoffs. It'll be a great show. It's going to be tough, but I guarantee it's not going to go down like it did the first two games. Wow. Tough words for Brandon Marshall, folks. That's directly from wide receiver, Chicago Bears wide receiver Brandon Marshall, referring to the Detroit Lions as little brother. I didn't like the fix your financial problems part. Come on, man. It's a low blow. All right, moving on. MSU and Kentucky, folks. Number 2 Michigan State faces number 1 Kentucky in the third edition of the Champions Classic. This is the first meeting of number 1 and number 2 on the hardwood since 2008 and the earliest meeting ever between two top-ranked squads. MSU tuned up for the contest with a dominating 98-56 victory over McNeese State Friday. Now, Kentucky leads the all-time series with MSU, 12-10. The Spartans and Wildcats have split the 4 neutral site meetings. MSU is 4-2 against Kentucky under Tom Izzo, although this game marks the first contest against a John Calipari-coached Kentucky team. Now, in the last meeting, MSU defeated UK 94-88 in double overtime in the 2005 Elite Eight game. Now, the season before that, Michigan State and Kentucky played in front of a world record crowd of 78,129 people at Detroit's Ford Field on December 13th, 2003. Again tonight at 7:30 p.m., Michigan State, Kentucky, number 1 going against number 2. It should be a fun one, folks. Can't wait for that one. All right, the 2013-14 Michigan State women's basketball season started off on a down note as the number 19th or 18th Spartans fell 81-62 against Notre Dame. Now, 4 Spartans scored in double figures, led by 15 points from junior Becca Mills. But the Irish, who are now 2-0, controlled the glass and pulled away late. The Spartans led early, holding a 14-11 lead in the first 6 minutes, but the Irish followed with a 12-2 run over the next 4 minutes to take control. Notre Dame will push the lead to double digits at the half, leading 36-24. Now, the Spartans outshot the Irish 43%-42%, including a 53% clip in the second half, but allowed the 25 second chance points on a 52-29 rebounding differential. Just completely owned the Spartans on the boards. Now, Michigan State returns home to host Canisius on Thursday at 7 p.m. And today, we have a special guest. We have the MSU Women's Basketball Radio color analyst, Mo Gerhardt, joining us to analyze this season for the MSU Women's Basketball team. You don't want to miss that. He will be on with me in just a sec. All right, Detroit Pistons, they fell to the Portland Trail Blazers last night, 109-103, your final. Damian Lillard lit the Pistons up for 25 points, while Brandon Jennings led the way for the Pistons with 28 points. Now, the Blazers made 11 three-pointers. They were hot from behind the arc, including 5 from Lillard. It was Portland's 6th straight victory at home over the Pistons. Now, Detroit was coming off a 119-110 loss to Oklahoma City on Friday night. That is the Thunder's only trip to the Palace. Jennings had his first double-double with the Pistons, with 22 points and 11 assists against the Thunder. The Pistons are now 2-4. They've lost 3 straight games, but look to rebound against the tough team of Golden State. Yes, the Golden State Warriors tonight at 10:30 p.m. All right, volleyball regional action. There are 7 mid-Michigan area high school volleyball teams who will compete in tonight's regional semifinals. Now, in Class A at Kalamazoo Central, if Hazlitt defeats Ann Arbor Huron at 5 p.m. today, again, that's Hazlitt and Ann Arbor Huron, 5 p.m. today, the Vikings would likely face a Matawan team at 7 p.m. Thursday, which eliminated number 2 Portage Central 3-2 in districts last week. Now, in Class B at Eden Rapids, Fowlerville at 5 p.m. as well, they will face number 2 ranked Wayland, which ousted Portland. Now, Lakewood and Ionia, Wayland, they've really, this is the reason why number 2. I mean, they beat Portland, Lakewood, and Ionia in districts last week. So it's a team that's very, very serious. Again, that's Fowlerville at 5 p.m. against Wayland today. That'll be a huge win if Fowlerville can pull that off. And either Chelsea or Charlotte, which play one another at 7 p.m. today, would likely face the Wildcats at 7 p.m. Thursday. So, again, that's Charlotte and Chelsea. They go at it today at 7 p.m. Now, in Class B at Mount Morris, if Corona can get past Armada at 7 p.m. today, the Cavaliers may have to face number 3 West Branch at 7 p.m. Thursday. And in Class C at Morley Stanwood, Powama Westphalia will meet number 8 Grand Rapids Covenant Christian at 7 p.m. today for the right to possibly battle number 2 Morley Stanwood squad on its home court that sideline number 5 St. Louis in its district final. So that's PW. They will meet Grand Rapids Covenant Christian at 7 p.m. today. So a lot of volleyball regional action. I'm pretty sure many of you will be packing the gyms in that. Oh, also forgot, here's one more. In Class D, Lansing Christian will meet Jackson Christian. So Lansing Christian and Jackson Christian at 5:30 p.m. today. So there you have it. Tons of regional volleyball action. From all of us at Current Sports, wish you all good luck. I mean, we have 7 teams in the Mid-Michigan area competing. So, all right. The state of Florida has swept Major League Baseball Rookie of the Year awards. Miami Marlins pitcher Jose Fernandez received 26 of 30 votes to win NL Rookie of the Year, while Tampa Bay Rays slugger Will Myers, he took 23 of 30 for the AL Rookie of the Year. Now, for both, the recognition for their debut campaigns was a welcome surprise. Myers said, quote, "Honestly, when I was called up, that didn't even cross my mind. As the season went on, I could see what I would have a chance, excuse me. To be able to win is just a huge honor, and I'm very excited about it." Now, Fernandez, who beat out Cuban countryman in LA Dodger sensation Yasiel Puig, is just the third Cuban to win a Rookie of the Year, joining Jose Canseco and Tony Oliva. I'm not sure I was even born when those guys were playing, but for sure, I heard the names before, and they did a lot of good things in the game of baseball. All the kids in Cuba play baseball. So there you have it. Miami Marlins pitcher Jose Fernandez and Will Myers, your NL and AL Rookies of the Year. Novak Djokovic continued his recent dominance by defeating world number one Rafael Nadal 6-3, 6-4 at the ATP World Tour Finals. Djokovic has won 22 consecutive matches to end the season, which ties Nadal's best mark from earlier in the year, which included wins over Joker. All right. Afterwards, Djokovic said, "The most positive thing that I can take away from those 2.5 months is the fact that I managed to regroup after a few big losses against Nadal, especially in Roland Garros and the U.S. Open final and women's final." The two top players in the world, Djokovic holds a 10-9 advantage in final matches. And will look to improve that mark at next year's Australian Open, where he has won the last 3 years. So there you have it. Djokovic taking that one. Now, promising young, this is some sad news. Promising young NASCAR driver Trevor Bayne has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, but does not anticipate the condition to hamper his racing career. Bayne, who became the youngest winner of the Daytona 500 in 2011 at age 20, was hospitalized in 2011 and missed 5 races undergoing treatment at the Mayo Clinic. Now, that stint ruled out Lyme disease, and he was admitted for nausea and fatigue and guessed it was related to an insect bite. Now, multiple sclerosis, the debilitating disease in which the immune system attacks the central nervous system, it has no cure, folks, but treatment is available to manage symptoms and lower its progression. Bayne plans to race full-time next season for Roush Fenway Racing in the Nationwide Series and a partial cup schedule for Wood Brothers. He currently is in 6th place this season in the Nationwide Series. Wish him the best. Also want to note very, very sad news from Arizona. Hoppy High School senior running back Charles Uvella has passed away days after suffering a blow to the head in an Arizona high school football game. Now, Uvella caught a pass midway through the 4th quarter and was tackled in a routine manner by the other team. But on his way down, his head hit the ground very, very hard. Now, Uvella stayed in the game and played 2 more plays, that is, before collapsing to the ground. He was conscious on his way to an emergency vehicle, but by that time he reached the hospital, he was in critical condition. He remained in that state until passing away yesterday. Uvella was the second leading rusher on the school's best ever 9-1 football team. This is a direct quote from Associate Executive Director of AIA, Chuck Schmidt. This is what he said before Uvella's passing was announced on Monday night. Quote, "He has a significant amount of family around him. I can't believe the support up there. The family appreciates all the thoughts and prayers. Sad news. Again, Hoppy High School senior running back Charles Yavella passes away after suffering a blow to the head on what looked to be a routine football play in which he was tackled. His head hit the ground very hard. He was conscious on his way to the hospital, ended up being in critical condition, and passes away sadly. Boy, I tell you, well, those are your current sports headliners on this November 12th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, you know, you can give us a call right here at the Current Sports Studio by dialing 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And we are honing in on that MSU and Kentucky matchup tonight. 7:30 p.m. is the tip-off time. What do you think is going to happen tonight? Will Izzo and the Spartans pull out the W? Give us a call. 517-355-9527. We're going to be diving in. You're going to be able to hear from some of the players before that matchup tonight, and also hear from Izzo in just a second. But in the meantime, we have to show some love to the ladies. Yes, the MSU women's basketball team has started its season. Unfortunately, last night they fell to one of the nation's best teams in the country, Notre Dame. And today I invite a man who knows quite a bit about this year's Spartan squad, seeing as though he's one of the voices behind each and every game. Yes, he is the color voice for the MSU women's basketball team, Mo Gerhart. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. Glad to be on.
No problem, Mo. So first of all, Mo, let's just dive right into it, man. Now, losing Jasmine Thomas and Courtney Schiffauer, which were two big leaders for this team last year, I mean, how big of a blow will that be for this year's team?
Well, that's to be seen, but if you follow the history of the women's program over the last 3 years or so, it seems every year Susie Merchant has lost her top scorer or top rebounder or one of those top role players, and somebody else has stepped up. So that's what I'm looking for again this year. Obviously, all the fans know Courtney Schiffauer. She was a fan favorite from day one. She was really the grit and the grind within that team, and sometimes it's hard to replace that. I think if you look at last season too, Jasmine Thomas really sort of came out of nowhere to explode for her senior season, so that was just a nice added bonus. I think they're going to be okay in that situation. There's just so much youth on this team and excitement. I'm really thrilled to see where this team can go.
Yeah, without a doubt, I tell you, Mo. And do you know any idea what is Jasmine Thomas and Courtney up to now?
Yeah, actually, Courtney is here right in the area. She's student teaching in Okemos in a fourth grade classroom. For any of the people that listen to our broadcast, we actually plan to have her on one of these next home games for a halftime interview so she can give an update to the fans. And Jasmine Thomas is actually playing overseas right now. She wants to continue that playing career, so she's playing professionally overseas.
Wow, that is great. So has Courtney completely just given up on the dream of playing on the next level?
Yeah, you know, she always had wanted to be a teacher. That's her other love. And, you know, she thought about going professionally, but right now she's happy just being here. She still practices with the girls every now and then and stays in condition. But as far as professionally playing, that isn't in her near future.
That's great stuff. You know, it's so funny, Mo, because you see Courtney on the court, you know, throughout her, you know, her time at MSU, and she is just a pit bull. But I tell you, off the court, she's like a marshmallow. She's so sweet, man.
She really is. I mean, and she's just going to be a wonderful teacher. She really can relate to those kids. They love her, too. So, I mean, that's a great match for the East Lansing community.
Yes, without a doubt. Now, Mo, you know, I got to ask this question because it's a question that we've been having, you know, before each and every season these past few years for this MSU women's basketball team. Knock on wood, is this team, how healthy is this team this season, Mo?
Well, it's the healthiest it's been in the last 3 years that I can remember. And honestly, that's not saying a lot, unfortunately, considering how many injuries they've had. But right now, pretty much everyone is healthy except for Jasmine Hines. She actually suffered a concussion a little over a month ago and is still experiencing symptoms from that. She has her good days and bad days, but has not been cleared yet by the team physicians and the doctors to be able to resume. And that is a blow for them right now. She provides a big body off the bench. That's really going to be key come the Big Ten season. But right now, knock on wood, this team is very healthy.
That's great. Yeah, I'm knocking on wood as we speak right now, Mo.
That's but right.
Yeah, because yeah, that's something I noticed yesterday listening to the broadcast that, like you said, I mean, Hines is out with that concussion. We'll see how fast she gets back to action. Now, I got to ask you, Mo, from your just personal opinion, do you think this year's team will be better than last year's?
Yes, no hesitation at all.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's how confident I am. And what I think this team's actually flying a little bit under the radar, And the loss last night, I think, will actually help them fly even a little bit more under the radar. a loss is never a good thing, but in some ways, you know, I think it will give them the opportunity to go back into the room, watch some film. It was a great experience for some of those younger players to go play on Notre Dame's home court. That was a team, I want to remind the people, or remind the listeners, that was a Final Four team last year that returned four of its starters. So
right.
That tells you right there exactly what they were up against. First game of the year on the road playing the number 6 team in the nation. That was a tall order. So, I'm not surprised. I don't want to say I'm not surprised that they, lost, but I thought it was going to be a little bit closer than the final score. Mm-hmm. But, I have no hesitation to say that this team is going to be better than last year's. And that was a team last year that got off to one of the best programs and best starts in program history.
Yes, without a doubt. Of course, MSU returning 6 of his top scores from last year. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm talking with a man who was behind, it was one of the voices each and every MSU women's basketball game, Mo Gerhardt. Mo, I want to, just kind of hone in on this team, and I want to talk about Clarissa Bell and Annalise Pickerel, now who are captains this year. Of course, Clarissa Bell was a captain last season, but Pickerel now a new captain on this team. What are you expecting from them as far as leadership goes? And it's got to be great having Clarissa Bell, who led the team in scoring last season.
It is, but I mean, if I'm being honest, Clarissa can be a little bit of an enigma sometimes. You always wonder what you're going to get. Last year, mm-hmm. she started to show some of that consistency, but unfortunately, at the end of the year, there was a hole in her game, and it was almost like her confidence was gone, even though she had been playing great. So everyone's hoping this senior year that she puts it all together, not just physically, but also mentally, on the court. And if she does, she has the potential to be an all Big Ten player. But honestly, for me, Annalise Pickerel is somebody that I'm extremely excited about. When she came in, she was in the recruiting class with Clarissa and also Madison Williams.
Yeah.
So she was a little bit under the radar, but in lots of ways, I thought her game was the most complete at that point in time. Since she's been at Michigan State in her freshman year, she has played every single position from the 1 through the 5.
Wow.
And this year she's going to be playing primarily the 4, and that's really going to be a sweet spot for her. She is an unbelievably difficult matchup for an opposition. She can hit the 3-pointer. She added the dribble drive fake to her game this year, so she can take it off the dribble now. She had to play with her back to the basket as a freshman and sophomore because of the absence of Madison Williams, so now she can play down in the post.
Yeah.
She can play everywhere, and I call her the Forrest Gump on the team because she can run just for the whole game and never get tired. She's just one of those
wow.
rare athletes that her stamina is forever, and she'll just go, go, go.
Yeah, Annalise Pickerel. She, and it's like you said, Mo, it makes her so dynamic because she can take it inside, outside. I mean, her three-point shot is so smooth and sweet. It's great. Arguably probably the best shooter on the team. And I want to ask you, going back last season, Mo, looking at Clarissa Bell, I mean, why do you think her production kind of went absent, during the later part of that season last year? What was the reason for that?
If someone could come up with that answer, I mean, they'd be the popular person as far as the women's program goes. I know it's been frustrating for Susie. The one consistent, and I have to give her props for this, Clarissa Bell, her defense never wavered. Mm-hmm. She's one of the top defensive players in the Big Ten. She really is a stopper. So even when her offensive game wasn't there, she continued to play defense. And you have to give credit to a player that maintains that defensive intensity, because that can really go at any point in time. So I want to make sure I give that credit to Clarissa. But offensively, there were a couple of games where she just took herself out of games almost with her offensive play, and that can't happen this year as a senior leading this team.
Yeah, that's very, very true, Mo. Now, Mo, looking at this team, I mean, who do you think, as the season goes on, for those that follow the MSU women's basketball team and for our listeners out there, who do you think is going to break out this year and really surprise some people?
Well, I mean, I already mentioned Annalise Pickerel, and I mean, I honestly think she's got the potential also to be an all-Big Ten player. But for someone new, someone young, mm-hmm. Actually two names that people are going to get to know very quickly, and that's Tori Jankowska,
yeah.
And also Ariel Powers. I have been just thrilled to see how Ariel Powers has come back from her Achilles injury. She is showing no effects and really going hard to the basket. She's so athletic. Also has an outside jumper that's just going to keep getting better and better. And Tori Jankowska has one of the most pure three-point shots that I can remember in recent memory within this women's program.
Mm-hmm.
She made a three-point shot in one of the exhibition games against Grand Valley. That was the deepest three-point shot I have ever seen a Michigan State Spartan women's player make.
Wow.
In
my NBA range, huh?
It was beyond NBA.
Oh, my goodness.
It was one of those when it went up, you're like, no! And it was just a pure swish.
Right. Wow. Unbelievable. And, of course, Tori is Michigan's Miss Basketball from Freeland High School. And what type of player is she? Is she a shooter? Does she shoot more than she drives, or can she do it all, really?
She can do it all. Right now, she has a little bit of that freshman mentality where she likes to go to the hoop when maybe it's not always there. And that's just part of her game that she's going to have to realize that you can't always drive to the basket, that you do have to pull back a little bit. But she has the green light to shoot anywhere she wants. Susie Merchant has told her, if you're open, you're going to be shooting the ball for us. And the thing that I love about her the most when I've been watching her from this summer up through the first exhibitions and this first game is she is a bulldog. She is so intense. She hates losing. She is really a gamer. So even though they lost Courtney Schiffauer, I think the fans are going to be able to really grab onto Tori real quickly, and she's going to fit that sort of void that was left by Courtney.
Yeah, Tori, she had 14 points off the bench last night for the Spartans. So, Mo, what do you think is going to be the biggest challenge for this team this season?
I think just sort of finding a rotation and really getting their matchups figured out. They're so much deeper than they've been the last couple years, and they have so many players that are really interchangeable at multiple positions that they're going to have multiple lineups throughout the course of a game, and maybe even that Susie can toy with just depending upon matchups. And I think once they figure out a rotation, once they get comfortable playing with each other, there's really so much excitement that I'm going to be expecting from this team. And to me, that's the most difficult thing that they have in front of them is just being able to figure out what their best matchups and lineups are going to be.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting as the season goes on. Before I let you go, Mo, give me a season prediction, man. How far do you think they're going to go?
I'm going to say it right now. I'm predicting Big Ten championship. So
there you go.
Let's mark that down right now. And they were picked third in the conference by the media and the coaches, but I'm going to slot them all the way up to number one. And there may be a little bit of a homer in there, but that's because I expect big things from this team. And beyond that, I'm also looking maybe Sweet 16, something in there in the NCAA tournament. So much in the women's draw just depends upon the seeding that's done a little bit differently than the men's because of the home court matchups where you can be slotted 2-3 seeds even higher than where your draw would be. And so those matchups on opposition's home court can really play havoc in the women's tournament. So it's a little bit more of a wild card than how the men's format is. But if they don't get to the Sweet 16, I know they're going to be disappointed.
Mo, I think you were looking at my notes because that's exactly – I have them winning the Big Ten Championship and I have them going out in the Sweet 16. Yeah, I think you were looking at my notes,
that?
Mo. Well, there you have it. Color voice for the MSU women's basketball team, Mo Gerhart. Hear him on the game, 7:30 WVFN, this Thursday, right, as the Spartans now prepare for Canisius at home. Right, Mo?
You got it. And actually, also for Spartan women's fans, that's going to be the return of Satara Washington, former MSU player. She's now an assistant coach at Canisius. So
is she? I didn't know that. Wow.
That's right. Yeah. How about that? Inside scoop.
Wow. There you have it. Well, I'll be glued to it. I can't wait to listen to you guys. And I'll actually be at the game. So I'll say hi to you at the broadcast booth. How about that, Mo?
Perfect. Thanks for having me on. Always there to help you out.
No problem. Got to have you on soon. But hey, you take care, Mo.
I appreciate it.
All right, well, when we return to current sports, we're going to talk about the MSU men now. Yes, they have a huge showdown tonight, the top two teams in the nation going at it, Kentucky and MSU. At the United Center in Chicago, man, oh, man. What do you think is going to happen tonight? Give us a ring, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. More current sports is coming right back.
Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, China's Communist Party is wrapping up a major closed-door meeting to outline its 10-year plan. Leaders will emerge with a blueprint for change. What'll be in it? That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
Oh. Hi, I'm Mark Bayshore, host of WKAR's Current State.
And I'm Joe Lindstroth, Current State producer.
We hope you'll join us for Coffee and Conversation Tuesday, November 12th at 6 p.m. at Schuler Books Chapbook Cafe in the Meridian Mall.
The Current State staff wants to hear what you think we should be covering here in Mid-Michigan.
That's Coffee and Conversation with Current State, Tuesday, November 12th, 6 p.m. at Schuler Books Chapbook Cafe in the Meridian Mall.
Hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, tonight is the night that many college basketball fans around Michigan have been waiting on. Number one versus number two. Michigan State and Kentucky, they will tip off at the United Center in Chicago, Illinois at 7:30 p.m. tonight. Many around the area, many of you out there, of course, us here on Current Sports have been talking about this incredible buzz surrounded by this game. And before we dive into it, I'm joined by Matt Luckey right now. Before we dive into it and kind of, you know, give our thoughts on tonight's game and what we'll be looking for, we talked with a few of the MSU players and Tom Izzo about this matchup tonight.
We got team goals, and we want to focus on those goals each and every night. You know, so, you know, what we do doesn't have anything to do with any other team around the country. Like I said, our goals, and we got to do whatever it is we have to do every night to accomplish them.
It's got to be a little bit of a challenge, though, knowing these guys got six or seven NBA players, right?
Honestly, we don't worry about that. You know, last year we faced Kansas, which had a pretty good team as well. You know, we were able to come out with a victory. You know? So, like I said, man, we not too caught up in all of that. You know, we just want to play well as a team.
Isn't that what you asked for as a college athlete? You know, I think that it just gives us a great opportunity to go out there and showcase our talents against another great team. You know, they're number one, we're number two. But at the same time, we're not worried about the number situation right now. At the end of the day, it is just a number right now, and it is early on in the season. So it is going to be interesting to see what each of us can do, because it is so early and each one of us is not as developed as we may be in later on the season.
So this has got to be the ultimate measuring stick to see where this program is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been looking forward to it for a long time now, and it's obviously been a game that we've talked about even before, you know, the workout started and everything like that. We kind of knew ahead of time what we were going to be getting ourselves into, but it's going to be a great opportunity. It's going to be a great event, and I'm looking forward to see what the outcome is going to be.
Watch Kentucky, and I mean, when you have 6, 7, 8 McDonald's guys in the freshman class, and then you have a couple in the other class, they're good. They're really good, and you can say they're young. I don't know how young they are. I mean, some of their guys are as old or older than Gary. So, you know, young in age, maybe young in experience, maybe, but not in age. And they played a lot of ball. And, it's going to be what it is. It's going to be two good teams going at it. And, you know, we're going to have some problems with them in matching up. And maybe they're going to have some problems with us. But it should be just a great night of college basketball with the four teams there. And I know I'm looking forward to it. The next few days, this is kind of what you dream of when you have a job like this. You dream of having opportunities to play the best and see where you are. And Kentucky is deserving of their ranking, and we'll see what we can do.
Well, Perry said yesterday it's no fair that they got to play you so early because this team's so young.
I agree. I think he should forfeit. You know, Johnny doesn't want to play it, I'll take a win. I'm not proud. I just take one anyway and get one. But, you know, I think everybody will make a big deal about a lot of things. You know, the thing I said to our students, which, you know, was ridiculous as far as how it could be taken. But I don't think anything's unfair, because I don't care who we play. I didn't care, you know, when we played Carolina and they were so good, or we played Duke in Madison Square Garden, second game of the year. I think those games do nothing but tell your team a little bit where they're at, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. And, I mean, I don't want to sound ridiculous, but a win and a loss at this time of year matters nothing. You know, it really doesn't. It's how we play, how we prepare, how we handle the the atmosphere. I mean, there's so many parts to this game that have nothing to do with the game, if you ask me. You know, are we going to – I'm anxious to see how we're focused in at 11 tomorrow. You know, we're going to have a walk. We're going to have a film session. You know, how we practice tomorrow night. You know, I'm interested to see those kind of things. I think that'll tell me a lot about my team. And then when you play, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen for them either. But I think he's trying to fool you media guys. And I know, and you know, you're too smart for that. But John must not know that.
Yeah, I'm too smart for that. I'm too smart for that, Matt. And if you know, it's so funny, you know, because of course, Tom Izzo, as you just heard, was asked the question. And for those of you who don't know, John Calipari, he says this game is unfair, quote unquote. At this time of the season, it's too early to play a team like Michigan State. And, you know, I don't know if you saw it, Matt, but this morning SportsCenter had a sit down with John Calipari, and he clearly says that he doesn't expect his team to win today. He just comes out and says that. I'm sitting there like, are you serious? You kidding me?
He also said 2 weeks ago or whatever that they planned, you know, he wanted to go 40-0.
Right,
so
exactly.
So it's like, pick a lane, Calipari.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, he was asked about the 40-0 question. I have the quote here. We're chasing perfection. We're chasing greatness. We're chasing things that have never been done in the history of this game. And then you come out and say that against Michigan State.
Right, and you know, he's just posturing and he's, you know, getting his guys ready to play, but he's also downplaying it if they do lose because, you know,
yeah.
When you have that many 18-year-olds, you don't want to have, you know, a huge hyped-up game, and if they fall short, maybe that kind of derails the season for a bit. I don't think it will. I think they're way too mm-hmm. talented for that anyway, but
right.
Honestly, it's just he's full of hot air. He's just blowing hot air everywhere.
Right.
You know?
I think he's doing exactly what Tom Izzo just alluded to. He's trying to fool us media guys into if Kentucky does lose this game, like, oh, you know, he has a cop-out, if you
right.
will. And it's funny. It's funny to me once I heard it this morning.
Honestly, though, it's kind of understandable because here at Michigan State, we play all these tough games right off the bat.
And yeah, that's how historically it's been, yeah.
Almost every year we lose them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll start out 1-1, 2-1, 1-2. But nobody panics because that's just how Izzo teams are built. They, you know, they start out slow, and then they start getting going in December near Christmas. By the time Big Ten season rolls around, they're starting to hit their stride.
Right.
At Kentucky, when you sign 7 of the top 15 players in the country out of high school, when you have the arguably the most, you know, program or most tradition-rich program in college basketball, expectations are sky high as they are.
Yeah.
If you lose this game, you do get a week's worth of what's wrong with Kentucky? Oh my gosh, what's going to happen with Kentucky?
You do.
Maybe he's just trying to downplay that.
Right.
Because, you know, you know as soon if Kentucky does lose this game, ESPN is going to jump all over that. Big Blue Nation is going to jump all over that.
And I think they will lose tonight, to be honest with you.
I do too.
I think, you know, Michigan State experience is big here. Michigan State, they didn't lose really anything. I mean, Derrick Nix, they lost Derrick Nix. But, I mean, overall, they didn't lose much. And you talk about Kentucky, again, with 7 players who were 4-star recruits or higher, 5 McDonald's All-Americans. I mean, those 7 guys could probably make that leap if the NBA allowed it today, possibly to the NBA, possibly, you know, maybe first-round picks. And, you know, you look at this game and you look at MSU as the more experienced team. You got the senior point guard. You got leadership. You have all of those components together. John Calipari is just using that as a cop-out because, like you said, Michigan State, historically, they've been that team. If you look at last season, you know, where, you know, they're known for starting off the season with, you know, with some rocks on the trail. And they you know, they start off 1-2, 1-1 or whatnot. And eventually, by the time, you know, when March starts to roll around and get close, you're like, whoa, this Michigan State team is pretty good. But just dive into the game real quick. In that front court, they have James Young. He's a 6'7 sharpshooter. Did you see James Young's save out of bounds into his own basket? That was pretty funny. But yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Pretty cool stuff there. But yeah, James Young, he's a 6'7 sharpshooter. You got Julius Randle, who's a 6'9 power forward. Marcus Lee, 6'9 shot blocker. Dakari Johnson, who many reports, I'm excited to see about Dakari. He's 6'11, could be, you know, a really, really good center for this team. In the backcourt, you got Andrew Harrison, who is a top point guard prospect in the class of 2013. And you have his twin, Aaron Harrison. These guys are twins and are so good at the game of basketball. Harrison is the nation's top-rated shooting guard. I mean, you got the top-rated point guard and shooting guard And they're twins.
Seriously, who are their parents?
I'm telling you, man.
My goodness, there's got to be a story there.
That's some good genes. Those are some good genes right there, man. And I tell you, it's going to be interesting to see how they play. I mean, again, at the end of the day, you got freshmen out there. But there's no doubt about it. They have tons and tons of talent on that Kentucky team. What are you expecting tonight, man? What are you going to be looking for, man?
I guess what I'm looking for is which team handles the moment better and which team can kind of pressure the other into mistakes, because mm-hmm. both teams are loaded with talent. Both like to run. I mean, Kentucky's going to want to play an up-tempo game too. I think, you know, traditionally Michigan State struggles mightily with turnovers at the beginning of the year. And even though that wasn't really a factor in the exhibition games, you just never know in this kind of a game against a big-time team if they are going to, you know, if the turnover bug is going to strike. But I think they have a better chance of maybe speeding Kentucky up and forcing them into mistakes. And if you get maybe a few, you know, intercepted passes for runouts, you get those easy layups, you start moving the ball and your transition, you know, from defense to offense, then I think they can maybe build a little bit of a lead and take control of the game. But Kentucky, man, they have talent everywhere. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they do.
I mean,
yeah.
The Harrison twins alone are scary. I mean, how Keith Appling is going to get spaced for a shot when he's given up 5 inches to the guy who's guarding him,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I think in order for MSU to come out the gates and have a flow to their offense throughout the entire game, I think Keith Appling has to have a big game tonight. Not scoring wise, because I mean you got a lot of weapons. I think Gary Harris is going to have a big game. I think Gary's looked great throughout the exhibition and the first game of the season against McNeese State, and you know he's the prediction for Big Ten Player of the Year right now. I mean, I think Gary's going to have a great game, but I think Keith Appling has to aid in that by not trying to be the guy scoring wise, which I don't think he will do. I think he's going to be his facilitator. He has to be a great facilitator tonight in order for MSU to get that offensive tempo established from the start. I'm very interested to see how this run and gun MSU basketball team that we've seen in the first exhibition games and also at McNeese State, how that transitions against a team like Kentucky. Expect MSU to push the ball, even on makes. Get that ball out of bounds quick and get down the court. You're going to see that a lot. That's what Tom Izzo wants. That's what he tried to implement last season, which sometimes, you know, didn't work out well, and that's why you had those turnover numbers in many instances go through the roof. But MSU wants to be a run-and-gun team. We'll see how that transitioned against Kentucky tonight. And I'm really looking forward to see how, Travis Trice. I think Travis Trice might have a big game tonight, man.
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see some production off the bench anyway.
I would, too. I would love to see that. I think Travis Trice, though, he's been, you know, he's had this hot shooting streak so far, you know, to start this season. Will it continue against Kentucky? We will see. And I think somebody off the bench has to have a big game. I said, you know, during the exhibition games when we were on the show about Russell Bird having a big season. He didn't look great that first game of the season, but it's the first game of the season. Well, he's a shooter. You have games like that. How he responds will be key. But I think Trice will have a big game tonight, though, man. I really think he will.
Do you think he's going to dunk?
No, not in this game. He had a sick... was it an alley-oop? No, it was just a dunk on the break against McNeese State that had everybody turning their heads like, what in the world? I had no idea he could get up like that.
Right. I mean, he just looks like a different guy from
he
last
does.
Year.
Looks like a totally – he's not afraid to shoot the ball. He'll let it fly. If he's got the shot, Trice is shooting, okay, without a doubt. But I'm very interested. But I think, you know, with the headlines we'll be talking about tomorrow morning and tomorrow night after that game, well, probably when 9 or so when the game ends, I think they were talking about Gary Harris, and I think they'll be talking about MSU's defense as well. Without a doubt. We'll see, though. Only time will tell, man. And when Kentucky loses, I think when Kentucky will lose, and I think when they lose, I mean, Calipari, like, I told you so, but in the back of his mind, he's like, man, he's going to be ticked off.
I think he will, too. Now, do you think it's going to be more insufferable if Kentucky wins and we have to hear about how great they are and how they're definitely going undefeated? Or if they lose and where, you know, is the sky falling on John Calipari? I think either way, it's going to be terrible to listen to.
Yeah, either way is going to be bad. I mean, either way, Kentucky's going to rule the storyline.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they are the
They're not
going to
talk about Michigan State.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're not going to talk. Even though we know we have Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo is here. He's a legendary coach. But either way, when you got all this preseason hype about Kentucky and the amount of recruits they have in college, I mean, 7 guys, legit guys that could probably make that leap to the NBA. The media circus around that team right now is definitely going to trump MSU's victory, win or loss, you know, tonight in the headlines. So we'll see how it happens, though. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. And I tell you what, Tom Izzo loves, he loves games like this, though, man. Anytime he gets to see where his program matches up nationally, as you just heard, he foams at the mouth for stuff like this. And you better believe Michigan State's going to bring it, man. And you're going to see a fiery Izzo on that sideline, like always. He's going to be turning red, going nuts, possibly yelling at a few players. But it's always fun to see, all right? It's definitely fun to see. Really quick, before I hit the break, I want to get your take because, Matt, you missed it yesterday. Me and Alex had a pretty good discussion on the Lions and Bears game. And really quickly, I wanted you to kind of hit on it and talk about Brandon Marshall's little brother comments. I mean, what was your reaction to Brandon Marshall's little brother comments today?
Honestly, my big takeaway is that the Lions beat them twice this year and that he should probably keep it to himself. I do get what he's trying to say, though, because for, what, a decade, the Lions have had next to no success against Chicago. Mm-hmm. And now finally they get a win at home, and it was a big one, and then, you know, they squeak it out on the road.
Right.
You know, they sweep the series. Now, whether or not it's all going to be settled in the playoffs, I don't know about that. I don't know if Chicago's going to make the playoffs. But I don't have as a big of a problem with it as, you know, I guess I should, being a MSU guy and having the little brother history
ask, because, yeah, the little brother stigma that's been around for MSU for so long. And Brandon Marshall comes out and says this stuff. But, yeah, I think he's just saying it out of – he's salty, you know, as we say, you know, back
when. It's not like he did anything to lose them a game.
Right, exactly.
He played great.
He played great. He did. Brandon Marshall had a very good game. But, you know, when I read the comments, I can feel, I mean, MSU swept them for the first time in a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean.
You know what I mean? So,
there you go. Yeah, and, you know, he's sticking up for his quarterback.
Yeah,
just trying, I mean.
I think Cutler came back too soon.
Oh, yeah. I think Cutler thinks that Cutler came back.
Yeah, and if you look at McCown, when he came in for that one drive and leads his team down the field and they score.
Effective.
Very effective.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, whoa, I think they made a boo-boo here. So.
Yep, I think they rushed him back too. I don't know why you would. I mean, especially the way that McCown has been playing. I mean, he played well last week too.
It's he's decent.
Like he's terrible.
Right, exactly. So there you have that, though. Brandon Marshall calling the Lions' little brother. All right, well, when we return to current sports, we have a special Top 5 Tuesday for you all. The top 5 athlete beefs of all time. Yes, we're doing this in light of the whole Incognito and Martin situation. But we'll run down some of the most notable athletes that just don't seem to get along great with their respective teammates. And, you know, any come to mind that you want to share? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back. We've been loving glassy and closing our luck. You're here and you wouldn't even think to look.
On the next Fresh Air, Ali Brosh talks about her autobiographical blog, Hyperbole and a Half. She describes it as stand-up comedy with drawings. But her most popular posts were about the depression that left her emotionally numb.
I would sort of have to consciously control my facial expressions because I wasn't feeling enough organic emotion to generate them naturally.
Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Just finished talking about MSU and Kentucky. Of course, MSU and Kentucky, the number one and number two team in the nation, will be going at it. College basketball season is back, folks. 7:30 p.m. tip-off tonight at the United Center in Chicago, Illinois. We also had Mo Gerhardt at the top of the hour talking about the MSU women's basketball team who fell to nationally ranked Notre Dame last night. Also want to know that, of course, it's Tuesday, and MSU head coach Mark D'Antonio had his Tuesday morning presser as the Spartans prepare for Nebraska this weekend. Just want to throw out some quick notes to you all. Of course, Nebraska is perfect. 7-0 all time against Michigan State. D'Antonio, you know, talks about the weight and the amount of, you know, what's at stake in this game this weekend, the opportunity to clinch at least a share of the Legends Division title. this weekend. He talked about, well, many players talked about, including head coach Mark D'Antonio, about the environment of Nebraska. Darquez Denard saying, quote, Nebraska throws you off, you know, when talking about the atmosphere, the fans and whatnot. And, you know, D'Antonio, it's funny because D'Antonio even addressed hazing, Matt, in light of the whole Miami Dolphins incognito Jonathan Martin situation, saying that, quote, I don't think there's any hazing that goes on at MSU. He's talking about his football program, of course. So there you have that. But yeah, Nebraska, a perfect 7-0, MSU has not beaten Nebraska. That's shocking. That's something that really hit me this week when looking at the game notes and whatnot. And I don't know, man. You think they pull it out, man?
I really do. Nebraska has something between, 4 and 7 offensive starters out.
Yeah.
Against a defense that already.
Martinez, you know.
Is great. Yeah, Martinez looks like he's probably done for the year.
Yeah.
I think the big thing will be, can Michigan State score on Nebraska? But people forget, you know, they lost last year, but if there's no flag called on Darquez Denard's touchdown
return,
it's 31-14 MSU.
Right.
I mean, that call changed the game.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that they would have won last year had that not been called. Not to say that was the only reason they lost, but it definitely contributed. I think they get it done. I think they've made a point of that they haven't beat Nebraska. That's the only Big Ten team that D'Antonio hasn't beaten.
Yeah.
I think they get it done this Saturday.
I think they do, too. I think I predicted 21-13 yesterday. But, yeah, I think that MSU defense, of course, is going to play great. The question for me is, how this MSU offense is going to play. You know what I mean? I think that's, if anything, you're going to harp on it hasn't been consistent throughout the years to MSU offense. If they're consistent and Connor Cook has a solid game, no turnovers, or, you know, not a lot of
limited turnovers,
yeah. Then I think they pull it out. So, there you have that. Well, we have a special Top 5 Tuesday for you all. Of course, many of you, we've been talking about this just about every single day on Current Sports since the story has happened. The incognito, Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin story. Of course, Incognito and Martin not getting along in the locker room. There's talks of, you know, just how far rookie hazing goes. I think it definitely went too far when you talk about Jonathan Martin and Incognito situation. But yeah, in light of that, we want to do a special Top 5 Tuesday for you all, listing the top 5 teammate beefs of all time. There have been many over time. And Matt, you want to kick it off, man?
All righty. Now, I'm going to put Martin and Incognito on my list.
Yeah, they're on my list, too.
I have them at number 5,
mm-hmm.
but that it's a sliding scale. They could move up or down
depending on how big this thing gets.
The next 5 turns in this story are.
right.
I'm going to put them at number 5 for now. I'm not going to rehash everything everybody already knows because we've talked about it nonstop and everybody's talked because it's, you know,
right.
It's a huge story.
Oh, yeah.
Number 4, I have a tie, and this is kind of it's a bit odd. Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding.
It's a big
Olympic
one, man.
Teammates.
Yeah.
They're country women at least.
Right.
You know, obviously, Tanya Harding hires a guy to club Nancy
Kerrigan.
That
was great.
And
it happened at, what was that, Cobo
Hall?
Yeah, in Detroit, man.
Well, Detroit history.
Crazy. Crazy. It shows you how good Detroit is, man. You know, go ahead.
Everything important happens here. All right. on the other side of that, I have Dawn Harper and Kelly Wells versus Lolo Jones for the U.S. women's track team.
Yeah.
They were gloating when she lost.
Yep.
They had some not terribly flattering things to say about her on an NBC talk show. Just a lot of feuding there between people who should be close and you know, rooting for each other.
Yeah, and you know, Lolo got a lot of heat from
a lot of
people.
I think there's a little jealousy.
Yeah.
From other,
yeah,
you know, track.
Without
and field
a doubt, I definitely agree. I think, you know, it's, you know, one of the biggest things, and I think it was Real Sports with Brian Gumbel did a piece on Lolo where she's struggling, you know, with individuals not looking at her in terms of her, you know, the things she does on the track, instead of looking at her looks, and a lot of athletes feel as though she's just as popular as she is because of her looks.
Right.
And interesting stuff on that. But, yeah, continue. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Next up, Terrell Owens versus every quarterback he played with. No, Terrell Owens.
Yes,
just,
I agree.
I'll just say McNabb and Jeff Garcia.
Yeah.
Jeff Garcia, of course.
Come on, Romo.
Like everybody, Romo, he cried to protect. Because that's my quarterback.
That's true.
You know, that's
my quarterback, man.
But Jeff Garcia, you know, the if it looks like a rat and smells like a rat, you know, calling
rat.
Into question Garcia's sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. And then Donovan McNabb, after they lose in the Super Bowl, he questions his toughness.
Yeah.
There's a nice track record with T.O. being unhappy just about anywhere he was. Number two, Dwight Howard versus the L.A. Lakers. Pretty much the entire team.
That's a good one.
And, you know, the entire last season for the Lakers is all about Dwight and how he wasn't getting along with Kobe or Coach D'Antoni or just about anybody.
Yeah.
Now he's in Houston. We'll see how that plays out this season.
Yeah.
Number one, it's got to be Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah, I was just about to say
it's got to be Shaq and Kobe.
So on my list, too. Number one on my list, too.
You know.
Shaq and Kobe. They just did not on anything, you know.
Anything.
On anything, no matter. And they didn't hang out with, you know, with some of this shocks me, you know, when you talk about teammates. And they had a very, I mean, just imagine the amount of championships they could have won, possibly.
Exactly. That's why it's number one.
Yeah.
Because that's a dynasty that they just derailed because they could not get along. Because
of egos.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Who's the man? Who's the number one guy, you know? And that's eventually what it led to, and it led to a lot of arguments between the two of them.
Stringer and Avon.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. That is very, very true. Shout out to The Wire. I love that show. But yeah, man, I mean, when you talk about Shaq and Kobe, I mean, two individuals, top 10 all-time greats, I think, on my list. And, you know, they won three straight at one point, and then things really started to hit the fan. They couldn't get along with each other, and it just completely went downhill. That's definitely number one on my list too. Yeah,
putting the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, that was kind of
more stuff with Detroit.
Exactly. Yeah, in 2004, the Pistons. That was kind of, you know, when they got Gary Payton and they had with Karl Malone was with the team.
Oh yeah,
that series kind of was like the final draw, and that broke up everything. So shout out to Detroit. Thanks, Pistons.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a good list. Very good list, Matt. For me, T.O. is also on my list. You know, Jeff Garcia. We just talked about Jeff Garcia, McNabb. He did cry for Romo. That is very true. My quarterback, you know what I mean? And I had to reevaluate that one. But, yeah, definitely got into it with Jeff Garcia, Donovan McNabb. His ego was through the roof. I think he's become more humble just because of what he's gone through these past seasons.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because he's playing, like, beach basketball. And
right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Just trying to keep money in his pocket right now.
Yeah.
And he was one of those athletes that, you know, were filed for bankruptcy. Can you believe that? On the T.O. show. He had an episode where, you know, T.O. show was on VH1, you know, trying to keep more money in his pocket.
Right.
And he completely went broke. You know, in his episode where he's crying, I'm like, come on, T.O., how do you just blow your money like that?
He only had one episode where he was crying.
Yeah, I know, right? He cries a lot. Yeah, T.O. is a sissy dude, man.
He's just an emotional guy.
Very emotional guy.
He's worked up.
Oh, all right. Me being a Cowboys fan, I had to bring up this one. Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones. During that dynasty in the 90s where the Cowboys were that team, which is sad to say no longer. But anyway, Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, they constantly got into it on who would take the most credit for putting together this dynasty. Jerry Jones would say, hey, it's me. I'm the mastermind behind it. But Jimmy Johnson also wanted the credit. They would constantly butt heads, and I think they, to this day, have a kind of a rocky relationship because of that. So I want to bring up an interesting one here, Matt, that start off as a rumor and kind of held some validity as time went on from unnamed sources.
Oh, I kind of think.
You know where I'm going with this?
Tell me.
LeBron James and Delonte West.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. It was rumored that Delonte West was talking and hitting on and macking on LeBron James' mama.
Successfully.
Yes, successfully.
On LeBron James.
On LeBron James' mama. Did you hear that one?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. I think that eventually led to LeBron saying, I'm out. Peace out. I'm gone. The decision.
See you later, Cleveland.
See you later, Cleveland. So that is so weird.
I forgot about that. That's a good one.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's a really good
one. That's one that didn't get talked about a lot, but it was very rumored, and a lot of unnamed sources would come out and say, yeah, Delonte is macking on LeBron's mom. Interesting there. MJ and Kwame Brown. Michael Jordan, you know, was, you know, he's just not a good decision maker when it comes to talent in the NBA. But, you know, he brought Kwame on his squad, and Kwame was not a great player. Not a great player at all. I mean, Stephen A. would say he's the worst player in NBA history. Stephen A. Smith, excuse me. But, yeah, MJ, there was countless accounts of MJ trying to push Kwame to be, you know, something that he wasn't. He just didn't have into him. And Kwame, there's numerous accounts about Kwame Brown crying multiple practices. So
you know what? In his defense, if I'm a 19-year-old kid and Michael Jordan is just giving it to me day after day. I'd probably cry too.
Probably shed some tears. And number one, Shaq and Kobe.
Classic.
There you have it. Classic. You can't leave Shaq and Kobe off that list. All right. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky. Engineer, Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for listening and tuning in. And thanks to Mo Gerhardt. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. We'll remind you all, sign up to be a part of that free live audience as I sit down with head boxing trainer over at Crown Boxing, Ali Easley, and also founder of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. He's such an inspirational guy. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.